Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the number one podcast with no clutter and deleting old numbers. I am Phil, friend of the pod, this week's guest. And with you, as always, we have Adrian Perez, and Paul is absent, unfortunately. But we're still going to get a big fact in, and we're going to get to no capping. Let's get it.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
I have been looking into electric bikes. I think I picked one out. I found one with all the bells and whistles and specs.
How much scratch is that?
How much scratch?
Yeah, how much scratch would it be?
Or how much Skrilla?
I thought it was scratch is like the old term. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of scratch.
Yeah. That's like what an old guy in Brooklyn said.
I still like how it starts with the scra sound. And I think over time it's going to get like, how many screws did you pay for that?
Am I putting out my business out there? It's a very simple tier list system. There's e-bikes for under 1,000. Tier 2 is 1,000 to 2,000, and then you're going from 2,000 to however much you want to spend on a bike.
Well, it's a good investment, I'm sure. I mean, that's how I thought about it when I got my bike, but my bike was like $50. But still, I was like, I would spend good money on it. I don't think it's anything to be ashamed about or anything.
If you live in Midtown Sacramento and you're a generally fit person, you can definitely get by with like a $150 road bike. There's a place in Sacramento that sells nice bikes that are, it's volunteer run. I'm a little bit further away and I'm a little bit less in shape. So I was like, I'll pay for the electric help. But in general, two things. One, obviously it's not a new observation, but the fact that I Googled electric bike once on my laptop and then the only thing I saw on Instagram from then on was all these bullshit ads for electric bikes, but also just the decision fatigue of like, I don't know. Would it have been better to grow up in the medieval times where the one option was just bike? And that was it. You didn't have to look into the competitors and what the different specs were and whether or not it has this type of thing or this type of certification.
You know, I feel like it's so worth it, though, because I'm definitely one of those people to where when I get something...
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. It really is. But I feel like when you spend that much money on something, it's just necessary. You're going to regret it if you're going to spend a lot. Like, if you spend like $800 on an e-bike and then it has one thing you hate, but then you learn that other bikes that were like... possibly even cheaper have like a different spec on it that makes it, you know, that gets rid of that problem, you'll be so mad at yourself. Like, I've definitely spent a lot of money on things, hence this fucking Focusrite mixer, where like half the time I think it's my laptop really that's messing up everything. But yeah, I don't know, stuff like that. Or even when I got that mixer with the little buttons on it where you could pre-record sound effects, I didn't do a lot of research on that, and I was kind of mad at myself being like, damn, I should have just saved my money and then this. I think it's worth it. It's frustrating, though.
Yeah, it's a lot, but like, I don't know. I have some friends who are giving me some good advice, and ultimately, I just want to make sure it has roadhead assistance, so.
Yeah, that's the main... Yeah. It has a sidecar on it. And you would just put it in your room, right? Because you would be kind of scared for it to get stolen.
The one that I'm looking at right now is foldable, but also it's like 60 pounds, so not impossible to get upstairs, but I would probably just leave it in the living room.
All right, yeah, that's what's up. That's
but
cool.
Yeah, definitely not outdoors. Yeah,
I feel that.
That's why I wasn't into the folding ones at all at first, but then I realized because of storage, I was like, yeah, I think I need to get a folding one.
Yeah,
which kind of sucks. They look a little goofy. They're like with the little tires and shit, but like, you can remove the battery, all that stuff. It
works. Like a little Roblox bike or something.
Yeah, like a little Roblox.
A little Roblox bike. I know there's one comedian who has a very square face and very square body, and Zalata recently said he looks like a Roblox character, and I'm like, he does look like a Roblox character. Or like a Lego or something like that.
Yeah. I saw a guy last night two nights ago that I was saying looked like a Lego man.
Actually, that same comedian, I don't know if I told you about this. I don't want to put him on blast or anything, but he did put an Instagram post up like last week. It was one of those videos where it's his joke and then another famous comedian's joke kind of side by side, you know? And it's like,
oh, he's calling people out?
He was calling Mark Norman out for stealing one of his jokes. Do you want to hear the joke?
Yeah.
It was, I think it's ridiculous that we have a drink called the Irish car bomb, you know? And then he explains, like, I guess, how that's problematic and stuff. And he's like, you don't go into a bar and order a... And then just guess what he said.
That's like an ISIS plane crash?
He said Sandy Hook.
No, that'd be anachronistic.
Sandy Hook. He was trying to make it like an American thing. So like,
oh, an American one.
Yeah,
oh,
so he's okay. Like, we don't go into bars, or they don't go into bars over there in Ireland and order a Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that joke, I guess, in like 2011 or something like that, and he posted it. And then I guess, I think it's Mark Norman's newest special. He says pretty much the exact same joke, but everybody in the comments thought exactly what I was thinking, and they were just like, yeah, I don't know. For one, he wouldn't steal from somebody who's not like big. At least I don't think he would, you know? But also it's like,
that's how you get away with it.
I guess so. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. But also, like, a lot of people in the comments are saying everybody's been making this joke in bars forever, you know? Like, we all know the Irish car bomb is a problematic thing to have. But what made it even worse is that this comedian was going back and forth with people in the comment sections, and I was like, oh, this is looking so much worse for you now. Like, he was being so mean. But then he took down the post because I think he realized how dumb he looked, which I don't know. I mean, I talked to you before how I've, like, had jokes, and I'm like, oh, I feel like this comedian has the same exact joke, but I just don't think I'll ever have enough confidence to be like, he definitely stole it. I'm definitely going to post a side-by-side video.
No cap.
Should we talk about the theme?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, all right. Explain the theme and why you wanted to do it. This was a Phil original.
I think I was just cleaning out my closet. Shout out Eminem. For real.
I'm sorry, mama.
I never meant to hurt you. I was like, I'm sorry, jacket. I never meant to buy you.
Okay, Weird Al over here.
But yeah, I was just cleaning out my closet, throwing away stuff. Or not throwing away, but putting stuff to donate, I guess, in a corner. And I was like, damn, yeah, all this
shit. Oh, you're lying. That can tell by the way you double backed on that. You were setting them on fire as you were taking them out.
I was putting them next to my toilet paper because I'm going to wipe my ass with these Gucci shirts. Oh, no, I mean, I was giving them to a homeless person. actually, one of the shirts I have in my car that I was going to give to Jerry was the perfect blue shirt. I was like, I don't wear this ever. Like, I like the shirt, but I'm like, I don't wear it. I think it's kind of weird when I think with the whole, like, preconceived notion that a lot of white dudes have Asian fetishes, for some reason, with me wearing, like, but wearing a shirt with that picture on it, I'm like, I like the movie, but it's kind of hard to, just the way it looks, I guess. But yeah, I was just getting rid of clothes and stuff, and I realized that most of the shirts I wear are just black or white. And then the other colors are just from, like, jackets and hoodies. And I was like, yeah, I think I am kind of a minimalist when it comes to style, because I feel like if I think about it too much, I'm just going to stress myself out with all the other stuff I was thinking of. So yeah. And then I was like, oh, minimalism. I don't know. That's something to talk about.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm also a minimalist when it comes to eating, like, throughout the week. Because, you know, I meal prep the same exact thing for weeks. Chicken and carrots. Shout out to my meal plan. But, yeah, do you think you're a minimalist in any ways?
Yeah, I mean, I really resonated with the bare bottom suggestion when you sent me that, because I was like, oh, I can get four shorts in, like, the four basic colors that you need. And, like, even before the bare bottoms, like, my first few years of grad school, I was a chino wearer. I was a chino enjoyer. I'd wear that in a sweater, and I'd have, like, a blue pair, a khaki pair, and a merlot pair. And that was, like, all I needed was those, and then you could just, you know, they match with everything. So in that sense, in other senses, the biggest one is, like, I'll be talking to my sister on the phone, and she'll be like, oh, I'm at a store, and they have these little Demon Slayer toys. Should I buy one? And I was like, no, you should never buy another trinket as long as you live. You've maxed out on little bullshit that you buy. And she's like, but it's for a friend. And I'm like, I'm sure all your friends are also maxed out on little bullshit things they buy for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of storage space, and I never really have. So, like, the amount of moving has always been, like, a one- or two-trip truck thing for me, because I just don't have the room for a lot of stuff. And, like, even then, like, I don't know. I think my room is, like, pretty appropriately decorated.
Yeah, it doesn't look too cluttered or anything from what I see on the Zoom.
I think I think it's a good level of, I get too stressed out in rooms that are too crowded. I think in some ways not. I mean, I'm not like a Buddhist monk or whatever, but yeah.
I feel that. You're not walking through people's city.
No.
I forgot it. I guess we need to do a media roundup. Do you want to sandwich a media roundup in here real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I did have some stuff. Ruben Solo's new stand-up special. We watched most of that together.
I haven't finished it yet, but I do need to finish watching it.
It is pretty good. I like it. I like it a lot for a crowd work special, because he just kind of like, you know, parodies how bad crowd work actually is.
Yeah.
But man, if any of y'all watch it, just at least stay for Creaky Joe. It's about halfway through the special.
Creaky Joe.
Let's see. And then I listened to Mike Will Made It's new album. Has some good tracks. The Young Thug track is maybe my favorite. CeeLo Green has like a gospel track on it. Lil Keed has a posthumous track on it. But then it got me thinking about like how like Mike Will Made It was on it, not a Breakfast Club interview, but whatever the one that Charlamagne Tha God and DJ Envy host now, where they were asking about like his recording process. And a lot of rappers have said this, especially Atlanta rappers. They said that they'll record stuff and then they'll take it to the strip club to play it to see if it works. Which I'm glad that's not my process. I feel like they'd be very discouraging.
Is that not how Type 5 was made?
Yeah, even like the audio, the stand up audio rips, I just play those at the strip club. Trippers went crazy. And also, it made me think.
That's a great sketch idea is
take your comedy album.
A failing strip club gets a Touch Tunes and an annoying white guy ruins the black strip club.
That's good. Yeah, I'm gonna play the
Strokes. Even like the beats of like, do you know about the thing in Touch Tunes where you can pay extra to make your track a priority track?
Yeah.
He's like, he's moving ahead.
He's not tipping any of the dancers. He's using it all for Touch Tunes.
He's using all of it for the Touch Tunes to be like, hey, fuck, what was I gonna say? You guys like Mad Villainy, right?
How about a dancer that gets all the like all these ones, and then right when she gets off stage, she runs to the Touch Tunes and uses it all. And plays the worst music and just ruins everybody else's tips.
That's a good time. That's a good time.
And then I got this joke too. I started thinking about strip clubs. How's this?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I went to Old Charlie's the other. I don't have to say Old Charlie's. That probably wouldn't work anywhere. I went to Chili's the other day, and I got their chicken strippers. Oh my bad, chicken dancers. My bad.
My bad, folks.
Sorry, that was a fucking slur I just said. And then Gucci Mane, he dissed Pooh Shiesty because, do you know what was going on with Gucci Mane and Pooh Shiesty?
Let me guess. They have strong opinions about what's happening in Iran right now and they disagree.
Yep. Guess which one is pro-Iran?
Probably Gucci.
Both.
They're fighting over
who's more pro-Iran.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Now, Pooh Shiesty was signed to Gucci Mane, and then apparently Gucci Mane and... Pooh Shiesty went to Gucci Mane's, like, recording office, or I guess label office or whatever, with, like, two or three of his, like, friends, and they, like, allegedly robbed him and took his chain and, like, held him at gunpoint to let Pooh Shiesty out of his recording contract. And then Gucci Mane... So he was charged with that, and then everybody was like, oh, man, Gucci Mane, like, total number, whatever, like that. And then Gucci Mane released a diss track today to Pooh Shiesty that everybody is saying, like, well, now you're even telling on him more because you're confirming all of this happened. So it's kind of controversial.
Ooh,
yeah. Damn. And it wasn't even a good diss track either.
I feel like you've mentioned a few diss tracks that you've been keeping up with, and none of them have made it into the mainstream. So I don't know. Not even the mainstream, but like even just like the, like, I don't know, like online discourse about hip hop. So.
Yeah, I was surprised that this one didn't go that mainstream because Gucci Mane's big, but I guess not as big anymore. But that's my media roundup.
Let's get back to the theme.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like being a minimalist helps with stress?
Yeah, I think that's the psychology behind it. You were talking about your dress. That was the old Tom Gunn. Who's that? Tim Gunn?
Tim Gunn,
Project Runway.
Black t-shirt every day.
His whole thing was, he did the Tim Cook thing of just wearing the same thing every day because it took the decision fatigue out of it. That's what people say. I think that's true enough, I guess. I don't know,
Yeah. I mean, I guess I definitely, like, care more about how I look if I go out. You know what I mean? But, like, as far as, like going to work, for example, I don't think about it twice. I wear, like, the same, like, Colonial Life shirt and just, like, black pants every day. But I guess that it is time-consuming and also kind of stressful just thinking about, like, okay, what do I want to wear? What do I want to be comfortable in? What would I look good in? What's not going to be too cold? It is very easy to be, all right, I'm going to get my jacket if it's cold. If not, I won't. And then I wear my black shirt and my blue jeans. But, I mean, that's less stressful. Definitely meal prepping is less stressful.
Yeah, that's true. That's very big in the diabetic community is, like, a lot of them get really burnt out and regimented on just, like, I'm going to eat the same thing every day because I know how to take care of it insulin-wise.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah. Also, people with, like, allergies and stuff, if they just meal prep, they won't have to worry about, like, oh, does this recipe have any of this in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, eating, fashion.
Decorations.
Decorations, yeah. I don't know. I guess decorations.
Oh, that, see, this would have been a good episode to have Paul on, because Paul was afraid to put things on his wall as a kid.
As a kid, he was?
Yeah, his walls were bare as a kid. I don't think he had anything on his walls. Oh, you know what? This is another one where I'm going like, yeah, Paul should have been on this episode. He also did that thing where he wore like plain polos, like all throughout high school. He would just wear like an orange or like black polo every day or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you not remember this?
He would wear like the polo shirts and, like, or polo actual, like the collar,
like the actual polo collar. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. He's not here to speak for himself. I don't know if he has a more complex reason for these things. But yeah, Paul's a very minimalist, or he at least was a very minimalist dude.
Yeah. And the polos aren't even that cheap.
Oh, no, it wasn't a cheap thing. His parents could afford a polo.
Yeah.
I think that might have been part of it. Maybe that they bought him clothes for a while, but I don't know.
It is kind of funny, though, thinking about, like, I don't know, like people who are minimalist but still spend a lot of money on their stuff, but they call themselves minimalist, you know? It's almost like,
well,
I
don't think those are opposed. I think that can be totally true. No, I mean, think you can spend a lot of money on stuff and just have, like, good quality basics, and that's what you do or something like that.
I guess that is true, yeah. Like, stylistically, it is still minimalist. But I guess, I don't know, I guess another side to look of minimal, or another way to think of the word minimalist is not spending a lot of money on something, I guess. Like, in a way, it's like, oh, I don't need that much, you know what I mean? So I'm not gonna, but, I don't know, it's like, all my Lamborghinis are just black or white, that's it.
It's pretty simple.
Nothing too fancy.
I only have one mattress, but I did spend a lot on it.
Hey, that's a good investment. But yeah, okay, yeah, decorations, fashion, food. I guess scheduling is the one thing that I'm not minimalistic about, and it does cause stress for me. But I don't know. That's one of those things where it's like, if somebody books me for a show, it could be literally any day of the week. So it's like, I kind of have to work my schedule around that, and I can't really like be like, oh, no, Wednesdays are like my gym day or something like that. You know, I just have to kind of take
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, like the Big Bang Boys. I think that was a big part of that show, is that they'd eat the same takeout every night of the week.
Oh, really? Was it Chinese food?
Well, it was like Wednesday's Chinese food, Thursday's pizza, Friday's this, you know, like it's that kind of thing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
They were rich. I do takeout like once a week, and even then it was like...
Yeah, they were all scientists. They were all doing fine. They're all scientists on a TV show.
I never really watched that show.
Well, I guess as a real scientist, I'll say that that's not how you would live, but some do. I have some friends who are like that.
Yeah.
But even then, it's minimalist. But then that's what you're saying, is the opposing ideologies of minimalist meaning I would make all my food because it's the easiest thing to do or the simplest thing to do. And then, well, not maybe not. But depending on if you have enough money, the simplest thing to do is Wednesday I get takeout from here, Thursday I get takeout from there, Friday I get takeout from there.
Yeah, okay, I guess I can't think of... I guess accessory-wise, I do get Frankie some bandanas every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but those are easy just to put on her collar, and also
You're not doing rings. You're not doing. You ain't got no piercings. You ain't got no. Oh, you got the. You got the ear piercings.
Yeah, I got my ears pierced. I don't really wear my earrings out that much anymore, though. I don't got any rings, no necklaces. I do have like a rope bracelet. I feel like it's a very small touch. It could bring an outfit together. I don't know. I feel like it could bring an outfit together for me. I like it a lot.
It feels Jesus-y. It feels Christian-y. I don't know why.
It does kind of. I wouldn't be surprised if people saw that bracelet.
Is it because it goes with your rope sandals?
Yeah, but then my robe also kind of matches.
Okay, yeah, the tunic that you wear, that you have the rope that also uses as a belt. Okay,
and when I go to the Y to walk on the water, everybody just looks at me, and I'm like, what do y'all look? Okay. Y'all think I'm Christian? Y'all think I'm Jesus?
Sometimes I walk by faith.
Sometimes I walk on water, too. Yeah, I can't think of any other ways that I'm minimalist.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right, is we're Americans. We're, by definition, the most wasteful, maximalist people in the world.
Yeah.
Even the most minimalist American is still not a minimalist person.
What's the most maximalist thing you think?
Oh, my penis.
Oh, yeah. You have, like, three of them. It's like, you only need one, Adrian. You have three micro ones that are not even the half the size of an obvious.
You stack them in a trench coat.
Yes.
No, what's the most maximalist thing about me? Oh, that's a good... I have some fashion choices that are a little maximalist, but I only bring them out sparingly, which doesn't feel maximalist. I have three computers. That seems egregious.
Oh, yeah.
And what else? Might be... about, oh, you know what? We're like confusing consumerism with maximalism and minimalism a little bit, but I will say this. I sleep by myself. I have six pillows on my bed.
You have six pillows?
Yeah.
Are they all like normal
sized
pillows?
That I, except for one that's a Bojangles biscuit pillow. But the other
That don't count, honey.
The other five is an ergonomic pillow. I like one on each side for me to hug. And then I have one at the bottom that I use to lift my legs up sometimes.
Okay. Well.
And then. Oh, and I have an extra one right now, too. So, because sometimes I'll stack it if I need an extra pillow on the back end.
Damn. You're like 6 feet above your bed. You're just like an exorcist. The exorcist girl is like.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
just
yeah.
laying on his pillow.
Flexible.
That's what's up, I guess.
And then, yeah, the Bojangles pillow is nice because it's one of those pillows that it loses heat really quickly. So it's nice to cuddle with at night because it'll dissipate a lot of heat.
That's cool. Yeah, well, I guess now sleeper. When I think about it, I have like 8 or 9 blankets in my ottoman, but they're all cozy in their different ways, and I can't get rid of any of them.
What is that? That's crazy.
They're just different types of blankets. Well, no, I think 2 or 3 of them are like the same, like typical like Walmart, like soft blankets, you know? But... sometimes I'll get a blanket for Christmas and I'm like, damn, yeah, I don't have this one yet. You know what I mean? I don't have this, like, this soft.
I don't have the Snuggie yet? What do you mean? I don't.
Okay, I will say this. I almost got this and it was where I had to draw the line in, like, accessories I have around my house. And it was a towel warmer for the bathroom. And I'm like, I would love one, but I was like, I don't need that. I was like, I'm going to feel like such an asshole if I get this.
A towel warmer. Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, and also you just throw it in the dryer and for like 10 minutes and it will be very warm, but...
By the time you're out of the shower, though?
I would say you throw the towel in the dryer, you start it for 10
minutes. That's something where like you and your roommate have to agree that you do that for each other, that someone throws a towel in the dryer for you while you're taking a shower.
Because then also you have to walk all the way to the laundry room all wet.
Yeah.
Zlata says she has a towel warmer in her bathroom and it's so small, but it's like you just stuff a towel in there and I'm like, damn, that seems so nice, though.
And so that when you're done showering, you can towel off with a warm towel. Okay. I don't really, yeah. I don't fully get that.
I think it'll feel good. I don't know.
I guess so. I got a massage on Wednesday, and a lot of it was the, like, before you get massaged, they do a hot towel on you or whatever.
Yeah.
Feels okay. It's not amazing. Mm. It's a hot, wet towel, though.
I don't think
is there anything that, you know what? Is there anything that you would be ashamed to admit that you own duplicates of? Do you have 6 PS5s?
Yeah, I can't think of anything right now that I own duplicates of that I'm like, I don't need this many stuff.
I do a few duplicates, a few dupes.
Yeah, what you got?
The headphones that I like, that I use for working out, I bought another pair for my office. That way I didn't have to like worry about which bag it was in.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So I've got that. I've got like a chapstick for every bag and for my car. I've got a few things that are like, I want one in my car, one in my bag. And if I need one in my room, like chargers and stuff like that.
I do that with chargers. I don't know if I feel bad about that, though, because chargers aren't like that expensive.
The moral of the story isn't that minimalism is moralism. I'm just saying that I do it. I'm saying I got the Skrilla to get 2 pairs of headphones that I like.
I own 2 hot tubs, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't feel bad about it. Sometimes
I do it just so I can have the bad ones. So I can be like, oh, let's use the good one today.
Yeah, I broke one of them on purpose and be like, that one's broken. It got wet.
All right. Do you want to get into a column?
Yeah, I'm down. I can go first.
Sure.
I guess this is going to be a new guy, right?
No, we've done Ask Eric before.
Oh, okay. Cool. So no introduction needed for Ask Eric. So asking Eric, minimalist daughter doesn't want any family heirlooms. Dear Eric, my 30-year-old daughter, Lauren, is relocating to California and taking only what fits in her car. She's embracing a minimalist lifestyle and recently told me there's nothing she wants me to pass down to her. I'll admit, I was shocked. She's the youngest in my bloodline, and I always imagine certain heirlooms or sentimental items going to her. I have 2 granddaughters from my stepdaughter, Rachel, age 32. I'm very close with both girls, and I've spent a lot of time with them throughout their lives. Rachel, the girls, and their grandmother, who's my stepdaughter's mom, all live together. I also have a 5-year-old granddaughter from my stepson. I plan to box up Lauren's personal mementos and let her decide what to keep or discard. That feels like a reasonable boundary. But I'm struggling with what to do about my heirlooms, the things I imagine would carry forward as part of my family story. Do I offer them to Lauren first out of respect for her place as my biological daughter, even if she seems uninterested? Or is it okay to start thinking about passing things on to step-grandchildren I feel close to, who might actually value them? I'm not dead yet, but I'd rather see these things appreciated than left in limbo. How do I navigate this without forcing sentiment where it's not wanted, but also not letting meaningful items disappear unceremoniously? This is from Looking Ahead.
Damn, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. That is, that was one of my big minimalist, choking points, or whatever you would call it, funneling points, is when I moved to California, I did move with just what fit in my car.
Oh, damn. Was that hard to leave
stuff
behind?
Including my mattress. Yeah. A little bit, just because when I lived alone for a year and with Justin, where I basically supplied all of the furniture, I did curate. I spent a lot of time, like, thrifting and curating stuff that I liked, so...
Yeah,
I think a lot of it ended up going back to my parents. I think some of the stuff's still in their house right now. But yeah, it was a little hard to be like, oh man, I really like that table, or I really like that chair, or whatever.
Yeah, that is tough. Yeah, because I think a lot of that is also the fear of being like, oh, if I get rid of this for good in the future, I'm going to be like, oh, I really want that, and then you're never going to find it again. At least that's what it was like with me, you know? Like, I have a table in the room that Christian's staying in right now with all those double XL magazine things hodgepodged onto the top of it, and I spent a lot of time on it. At the time, I thought it was really cool, but now when I look at it, I'm like, I don't really want this anymore. But then I have a feeling if I get rid of it, I'm like, damn, that was a really cool table. I don't know why I didn't just like keep it somewhere else. But then again, it's all about saving space and being minimalistic. But also, there's a lot of canceled rappers on that table. So there's a lot of Diddy on that table, so it wouldn't be too bad to get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm at the age where a lot of my friends are like, my parents are downsizing, and so I need to go back home and figure out what I'm going to keep from their stuff that they kept in mind and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a storage unit?
Do I know?
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of money. Also, it's like, what's the alternative to that? What's a smaller one where you can get like a safety deposit box or something like that? But those are small, right?
You can do that at the bank. Yeah. You're not putting a lot in there.
Mm. I have one bin that's like under my bed where I keep stuff in there, where it's like, it's not stuff I want to like have out as decoration, but it's also not stuff I want to just get rid of. And like one of them is like a picture of two WWE wrestlers that's signed because they're cousins of the owner of 116. And so he signed these pictures and he was like, hey, you give it to people at work if you want to. So I was like, well, I don't want to throw this away. This is kind of funny to me, kind of cool. But also, like, we went on, like, some, like, going away bar crawl for friends, and they printed out, like, an itinerary checklist. I still have that. I don't know why. I'm just like, maybe one day I can give it to them.
Things like that.
Yeah. As far as family heirlooms go, I'm so happy my parents have not passed down anything to me, because this does sound kind of annoying to have to, like, carry other people's stuff.
Well, they're not dead, so that's a big part of it. That is part of the answer that I was going to say is, hey, lady, you're going to be dead when this happens. Who gives a shit? But I sort of get the thing about wanting to, like, have people who appreciate the things that you like. But the whole thing about, like, in my mind, I had this idea that they'd be appreciated and passed down. And it's like, lady, you're not going to worry about that. You're going to be dead.
Yeah.
You're going to be going, ow, stop poking me, Satan, here in hell.
Yeah, Satan's not going to give you updates like, hey, your vase got passed down again.
But what if he does? Just to be like, hey, they broke that vase. They did not give a shit about that thing.
He says that right when you get to hell, too. And he's like, Satan, can you just give me a second to adjust?
He's give
like,
me a goddamn second.
He's like, yeah, this is your room. I feel like you shouldn't care at all. I don't know. That is really stupid, right? If you're just dead, it'd be like, you think you're still going to care about that.
Your daughter might change her mind, but yeah, your whole thing about like, should I offer it to her first and let her say no? Sure, do that.
Yeah, and she was like, is it okay to give it to like step-grandchildren? Hey, I'm sorry to break the news to you. They're going to say no, too. They're going to be like,
come on, when she has cool shit?
That is cool.
But like my heirlooms, like my PS5, my Nintendo Switch 2.
My winning lottery ticket? I have some.
I haven't checked in yet.
Yeah. My Bitcoin? It's probably not worth it.
Signed
anything.
Photo of Harvey, Steve Harvey?
It's all signed photos of Harvey Weinstein.
No. I wasn't going to say Harvey Weinstein. I was going to say Steve Harvey. What's the idea behind you'll give it to the stepdaughter's children, but not the stepdaughter? She doesn't matter. Why did she get skipped over in this?
Oh, maybe they're thinking, like, if they give it to a stepdaughter, they'll give it to their children. Or do they just say straight to the...
Oh, because she has children. Okay, yeah. I see.
But also, like, she said her daughter was going to college. So, like, why would you give it to her now? Like, wait until after college, maybe when she gets, like, a real apartment or real house.
Wait, no, she's 31. Is she just now going to college?
Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm. She also has a stepson. Rachel, the girls, and their grandmother, my stepdaughter. This is a, you guys have such confusing relationships.
Yeah, she gave her whole family tree within this question, and it's like, the question really is, though, it's like, how do I pretty much ask my daughter in a respectful way, can you hold on to my shit when I die?
Yeah, hold this for me.
Hey, hold this for me for you. I don't know. Yeah, I guess just ask. Like, don't get offended if somebody doesn't want to hold your stuff for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just can't be offended by that. It's like what you said. It's like people want people to like what they like, you know? But it's like, I don't know. You can't
just sell them and give her the money. Or maybe it's not worth anything. That could be true for heirlooms.
Yeah. I wonder why these heirlooms are. Like, I wish she gave it just like one example.
Yeah, like Nazi memorabilia?
It's all Nazi memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, just don't force it on anybody. Just ask respectfully. But she also asked, is it wrong to give it to like step family members? It's like, it's not wrong to give it or not
give it. Give it to whoever you want. It's your shit.
Yeah, exactly. Or just put it in the will, and then they don't have a choice but to take it.
Oh, yeah.
I leave behind all of my extra small condoms to Adrian, and then you're going to be like, well, that doesn't fit me. And then in the will, be like, it does fit him. If he says it doesn't fit him, he's lying.
Well, damn. It's in the will.
It's in the will. It's official. Legally, you wear extra small condoms.
No, I think my thing would be like, he thinks I'm using condoms?
I might have a book that says, like, how to be better at bestiality and be like, give this to Adrian because he gave it to me and I didn't want it. I'm going to put a lot of shit in my
you're
will.
Just doing bits. You're just doing targets. Bits. Yeah, okay. That's crazy. You think that you're not going to outlive me.
Nah. No. I think you'll outlive me. I think you're healthier than me.
I think you're a much healthier person.
I'm literally vaping right now.
I guess that's true. I don't know. Yeah, that'll get you.
All right, yeah. Do you have anything else to say about that one?
Nah, we can get the answer.
All right, let's see what you say, Eric. Dear Looking Ahead, thinking about this in advance is a wonderful idea and a beautiful sentiment. It's also quite loving that you're acknowledging what Lauren needs/wants and you aren't taking it personally. It can be hard when kids don't want or don't have room for heirlooms or mementos. I'm glad that you're finding other ways of honoring your family history. Because you've laid such a healthy groundwork, you can move forward with giving them to your stepchildren and grandchildren. I like how he says that as if like he's allowing it. Mm-hmm. Now that you laid it out, you can now move forward with giving them to your stepchildren and grandchildren. As you do, chat with Lauren about your plan. It's good to check in so that she doesn't feel blindsided. But more importantly, it's good to express your own needs, the need to distribute heirlooms. This way, the inheritance becomes clear channels of communication that allow you to both make informed decisions and help you support each other. Okay, that's a pretty good answer because, yeah, like, I didn't even think about that. It was like, yeah, just make sure she knows that you're giving it to somebody else. Like, that'd be really weird if, like, my dad gave, like, his uncle,
all of your
like,
T-pain
all my
shirts and prescription deodorant.
I was going to say something creepy, like, my baby pictures to my uncle. But yeah, that too. If he gave away my prescription deodorant, that's a lot of money. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, definitely have, like, communication so they don't feel like, damn, like, yeah. Because there's always that thing, too, like, in a will where, like, maybe, like, the kids don't get the house or, like, the life insurance money, like, some random family member does because they never updated their beneficiary or something like that. I don't know. Something crazy like that. Yeah, but I think that's a good answer.
You want to take a little break before we go into the next one?
Yeah, I'm down with that. Would you keep recording?
All right, Philly boy. So for my column, I'm bringing in Slate Dear Prudence. Help, my husband throws away my things without asking in the name of minimalism. Dear Prudence, my husband and I have been happily together for nearly 20 years. We had one son and lots of shared values. While we both tend towards minimalism, we disagree strongly on how to accomplish it. My husband is a tosser. I take a more measured approach. Here are some examples. 1. He throws perfectly usable items into the trash rather than donating them, mostly because of the time involved. For example, we recently bought our son a new bed frame. His old one was expensive and still usable, but all the donation centers in town were closed for the holidays. I was willing to take it when they opened, but he refused to wait and put it out on the curb. 2. He throws things away before we are ready to do so. My coworker baked us holiday cookies, but we had had them in the house less than 48 hours before hubby tossed them, claiming they weren't being eaten. They were. Just more slowly than he liked. 3. He's not always gracious about it. My parents visited for Christmas, bringing gifts in boxes my mom had decorated by hand.
She must have spent hours decoupaging these boxes, which were very pretty and could have been reused, if not by us, then by someone. But while they were still staying with us, he put them in the trash with the rest of the wrapping detritus. My mother noticed and was crushed, so I mumbled that it was a mistake and used them to store Christmas decorations when she took them down. Am I out of line when asking my husband to dial back on this quick trashing of things? I'm by no means a hoarder, but I can tolerate a small amount of clutter for a short amount of time. He can't, and I recognize that, but might there be room for compromise? How do I word this?
Oh, that's kind of tough. It does seem like he's throwing out stuff way sooner than need be, like cookies on the counter. Like, really?
Yeah,
like, you
yeah.
had to throw those out. Like, as long as they're like safely wrapped and no rats can get to them, I don't see the problem.
Yeah. But you definitely have. Everybody, I mean,
everybody got rats. When she was first like, he's a tosser, and she was like, example one, although she was gonna say, like, at Fats Cafe, he gets his Calabas chicken tossed.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't say a sauce, he just asks for a toss.
This is one of those things where, I guess the speed, it's kind of that thing that I've been saying this whole time where it's a little bit muddied on what exactly minimalism is. Because, like, waiting a day to take a bed frame to a donation center isn't not minimalist. That's just having patience. I don't know. Like, that's clearly a different thing.
Also, you're still agreeing to get rid of it.
Yeah, but also putting it out on the curb is kind of giving it away. There's just do a curb alert. Put out an email to whoever you know and be like, hey. Or put out, like, a text to them. Put a sign on it that
says
free.
I love curb alerts.
Yeah.
That is pretty much the same thing, unless he took it out, like, and it was trash day, and they immediately, like, go ahead and destroyed it. That'd been crazy.
So wait,
if he took it out.
The bed frame, the cookies, and then, the gift box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been a tosser like that. I have been, like, I'm going to put this stuff in a corner, and then I'll figure out what to do with it later. You know what I mean? Like, I have, like, maybe, like, a little garbage corner or something like that, or something like, I need to get rid of all this stuff. But, like, just immediately throw it away. And also, when it's, like, he's just kind of, like, making it his decision and not even consulting her.
Yeah.
Like, I would be pretty pissed if a partner or even a roommate did that, you know? A roommate would just, like, oh, yeah, there was, like, barely any juice left in there, and it's been there for a few days, so I just threw out the carton or whatever.
Like, I was saving that.
It's like,
I was saving that for a lorikeet that was going to come and visit.
That was for the landlord.
I mean, this is when we had Nicole on the pod. She was talking about her and Pierce's, one of their big arguments is about when to throw food away, leftovers.
Oh,
and
really?
I'll tell you, someone who house sits for them, it can get gross.
I'm going to say, I don't have leftover food in my fridge for more than a few days. And then I'm like, I probably shouldn't eat this through the health reason. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, it's probably
I'll
bad
do like a
now.
Week and a half. I agreed with Nicole at first, and then I started staying at her house, and I was like, nope. No.
Well, when you say a week and a half, do you keep it like in the freezer at that point, or do you just keep it in the fridge?
In the fridge. What's gonna happen?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess
I'm gonna reheat it. What do you mean? What's living in there?
That's true. What's living in this big old pot of gumbo I've had in my fridge for a month? It's covered, baby. Nothing's getting in.
It's covered, baby.
No, that's a good point. I don't know. For some reason, I just like I don't know. I guess I'm more of like a textbook like. Oh, if somewhere says like don't eat chicken if you cooked it and it's like been in the fridge for like more than 4 or 5 days, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be scared I'm gonna get sick because I hate stomach aches, so maybe I'm just a scaredy cat. I make like that meal prep chicken like every week, but I don't let it sit in the fridge for more than a week because I'm like, I feel like I will legit get sick if I do this, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's all chances, right? It's like you're increasing the likelihood, but you're not. None of it's a guarantee either way.
Yeah,
you could eat chicken the day after and get sick. It's less likely. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't ever like throw away something that I'm just assuming like, oh, the other person will definitely agree with me if I go and throw this away. This won't cause any conflict at all. It's like, no, if it's not putting like really any real.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever gotten in an argument about that?
Nah. Even like when I live with Mandy, when I live with Christian, like we never have thrown away something where like the other person's like, wait, did you throw this away? You know what I mean? Like I was like keeping that like, I don't know. If anything, I'll just clean or like organize stuff a certain way or vice versa. And then the other person's like, oh, wait, can we have this over here instead or something like that? But never just get rid of somebody else's stuff. That's a pretty toxic trait that her husband has.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, what's going through his mind, you think, where he's just like, do you think maybe he likes cookies a lot and he doesn't want to be tempted, so he has to throw them away?
Oh, yeah.
And he also likes bed frames a lot?
Yeah.
He doesn't want
he's
to be
a termite.
Tempted, so let me get rid of it. Yeah. You think he's an elf? And he's like, I cannot have this gift box right here.
Yeah, it's that's the thing, right? Like, who is it harming to have a plate of cookies out? Like, I don't know. It's a little bit too much.
Do you think he's a clean? Maybe just like he's a clean. Not a. I don't like to say clean freak. Maybe he has OCD. You know, he likes to be very squeaky clean and organized. And it's like, But she didn't really write any background on that to say that. She was just kind of saying he just does it. He's just bored and he does
it. He's just bored. He's like, you guys aren't eating these fast enough. You don't deserve them.
He has a stopwatch watching them eat the cookies. Like, not fast enough. Trash. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Okay, so she wants to know how to bring this up in a way. Man, she's writing into an advice column. I have a feeling like this guy has a short temper.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, because she can't talk to him about
it? Yeah, because she's asking, like, how do I bring this up to him, right? Mm-hmm. That was the main question. Like, how do I bring this up to them to where it doesn't sound like...
Oh, yeah, how do I word it? Is that what it is? Yeah, how do I word this?
Yeah.
You poke him in the chest. You say, hey, bucko.
Grab him by the collar.
Grab him by the collar. Well, let me eat my goddamn cookies 48 hours later, or it's going to be 48 hours later for you.
Yeah. As you're saying this, grab his collar, you have, like, chocolate all over your mouth. Like, hey, buddy.
Hey, listen here.
Okay, you want to do a role play situation? Like, maybe I'm the husband and you're the wife?
All right, yeah, yeah.
Hey, baby, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Courtney? Which is a male's name in certain countries.
Yeah, of course. Why would you specify that? You know what? Every day I come home from work, you specify how my name could be a guy's name, and I'm getting insecure about it. I'm starting to think that you think it's just a woman's name.
No. I've been meaning to talk to you about one of your deeply toxic behaviors, and I'm thinking about leaving you and taking the kids.
All right, wait, can I take my jacket off first before, like, you come back? Like, I just got off.
Honestly, I'm surprised you're wearing a jacket. I thought you'd just be wearing a shirt, because you're a minimalist.
Okay. All right, Charlie, which is also a girl's name.
Yeah, in America, where we live.
Of course, yeah, here in America. My jacket's off. You said I'm a minimalist. There's something you need to talk to me about. Toxically. Okay, I'm toxically a minimalist. Enlighten me.
Well, I can think of three examples for sure. One.
All right.
We could have donated that bed frame that you threw out on the curb. That could have gone to someone who needed it.
Ooh. What our son's bed frame?
Yeah.
And our son's name is...
Let's say it at the same time.
Yeah, we'll say it at the same time.
Three, two, one.
Baxter. Jamie
Baxter.
Oh, Baxter. Yeah, Jamie's bed frame we need to get rid of. Baxter, which is a pretty strong boy's name. I don't know if I met a girl named Baxter.
I think of it more as a dog name. I've never met a person named Baxter.
Yeah. But it could be a human boy's name.
But that's why we work, is we both thought that it was a beautiful name. A beautiful name.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I threw out that bed frame.
Yeah, we could have donated it if you had just waited one day. It was going to be in the corner of the house for one extra day.
That is true. But Charlie, you know it smelled like piss. Baxter pisses the bed every single night, and it was seeping. That's why we got rid of the bed frame. You're going to donate that?
But then how is that going to change with the new bed frame? Did we get a rubber one?
Yeah, you don't remember. You don't remember anything we do together.
Yeah, because I'm always blackout drunk because I have to deal with the trauma of you being a hyper minimalist.
What's the second example, Charlie? And you know what? Pour me a goddamn drink as well.
Yeah, okay. I forgot. That's also why we work together.
This is the most dysfunctional couple in the world. What's the second example?
Exhibit B, the holiday cookies that I brought home from the office.
Yeah, the ones that were laced.
With what?
I didn't want Baxter getting into those.
So you were fine with us eating them for the first 2 days, but then your investigation came back that they were laced?
They didn't hit me until the... Edibles take a while to hit your system. And the second day, I got so high. But also, I didn't notice because... We're always blackout drunk.
That's true.
Maybe I threw out the cookies a little too early.
I'm usually twisted.
Yep. Maybe I threw out the bed frame too early. Maybe I threw out the cookies too early. What's this third example?
Third example is a classic one. Just because something is used to deliver a present doesn't mean that it can't be a part of the present. When my mother came and she brought a beautiful gift box for her Christmas presents and you threw them out immediately.
You mean this gift box? Babe, this is a cardboard box.
Why do you have a cardboard box next to your bed? Are you taking donations?
Yeah, my next donation is a wife. Who wants her?
Hey, come on now.
Nah, I keep all my podcast stuff. All my podcast stuff that doesn't work, I keep it in this box.
Let's go out for a second.
Let's go off script.
What's the longest that you've kept a card?
Like any greeting card, get well soon, like birthday card?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what cards are. You've demonstrated that knowledge.
Or do you mean like debit or credit cards?
Or do you mean like a playing card, like a jack? How long have I kept a jack of spades?
Or do you mean like a battle rap card, like the event?
Or do you mean a face card? Because I'm serving cunt.
Yes. I honestly, like a few months. Wow. No, actually, I have one that's on my fridge, and I will keep it on my fridge probably forever. Me and Zlata were once talking about, we talk about drama a lot that happens in the comedy community or like other just drama of our friends. And sometimes like we'll like really be beating a dead horse. And she once sent me a card that says, "Sorry for your loss." And it was like inside, it was like the horse that died and we kept on beating up. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep this probably forever. This is pretty funny. It's in my fridge. Birthday cards, I
none
probably
of the cards
put on
that
my fire.
Okay, interesting.
What cards have you sent me?
I don't think I've ever sent you a card. I'm not a big card guy. Dora Lee's a big card person.
You send me those cards that you see like on the ground of Las Vegas where it's like the dancers with like the stars over their nipples. And I'm like, Adrian, I'm in a relationship. Please stop sending me these.
First of all, no, you're not. Second of all, you like
them. At the time I was dating a lot of women back then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that you were meeting from these cards.
Yeah. I would just call it. But Adrian, I'm dating the last girl you sent me.
I have some that I think are now officially like 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They used to be a thing like you where I would keep them in a box. But now because I have a little bit of room on my bookshelf after I did a decluttering thing, I have a shelf open and I just put up all the cards that I've been saving that I never want to throw out.
That's cool. That's what's up. When somebody gives you a gift, when it's a article of clothing, how do you feel about throwing that out? I keep it just in case they're like, "Hey, wear this tonight. I'm gonna wear mine tonight." I have a few things like that.
So normally you're getting gifts that you want to immediately throw away.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. I mean, right now,
like, has anybody ever given you a shirt or a hat and then like you maybe want to be like, "I want to hang on to this just in case if they ever ask," or you could wear it in the future in front of them and be like, "I still have it."
Yeah, I have a Steve Harvey shirt from Paul that I still have. I think it was a size too big and it was white and thin, which is like my least favorite type of shirt. So I think I still have it. Maybe I'll use it as a nightshirt at some point. But honestly, I decluttered after I graduated and I would not be surprised if that one didn't make the cut and I threw it away. But I think I held on to it for a while.
I think I remember that shirt. Was that part of like a pod, like Secret Santa thing?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was a Secret Santa gift.
Okay. Yeah.
But otherwise, no, I think otherwise people who get me clothes are pretty confident that I'll like it and they're usually right.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Either that or I can do the thing of like, "Oh yeah, sorry, it was the wrong size."
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's really good. My mom, for like years straight for Christmas, like one of my gifts would just be a lot of like really nice t-shirts from like Belk or like Dillard's or something like that. Ooh. for like work or like weddings or funerals.
That's some real ass Christmas shopping right there, going to Belk or Dillard's to get some shit.
I know. She's very
that's
old.
Some Home Alone type shit.
She's old school.
Now, see, she's old school.
But on it, like, I love my mom to death, but I don't wear like any of those shirts. I kind of like to do my own shopping when it comes to like even like nice clothing, you know. I want to be comfortable with my clothing. And a lot of it is kind of like, it's just not my style at all. You know, it's very nice clothing though, but also it's like, I feel weird giving it away. I'm not going to wear it ever. Won't ever wear it in front of her. But like,
so you
I just
have a
I
bunch
feel
of these?
Weird giving. Yeah, they're up there in my closet. I saw them the other day when I was cleaning out.
You should probably donate those.
I probably should. People could really use those. I also have a few Bibles that I feel weird throwing out.
Well, yeah, you have to burn them.
I feel weird doing that too.
You can't just throw away a Bible. Yeah, I think that was like, I think there was a Christmas in New York with my brother and his husband, his ex-husband, where his ex-husband's parents for Christmas got me a button-up shirt. And I was like, why in the world would you ever think you'd pick out a shirt that I like? Like, this is insane behavior. What a weird thing to get me.
This is egregious
just,
of you,
like,
really.
Just get me a bar of chocolate. That would honestly be better.
Dude, one year for Christmas, my middle brother and his wife got me a comedy album from Jeff Dye. And I'm like, I almost want to look them in the eye and be like, you know I will never listen to this dog shit, right? You know you ruined Christmas.
Hey, that's a thoughtful gift. You love comedy. Who is Jeff Dye?
I guess it's... Oh, he's the... I'm going to send you a clip later and you'll understand. He's very Joe Rogan-esque.
Okay.
He's very, yeah, very bro-y comedian.
I'm
going to
send some clips your way later.
Hey, come on now. You know, I was listening to Prime 2, the album.
Ooh,
Prime 2
one.
Today.
Actually, I think I like Prime 1
and
more, but...
I like Prime 1 more, but I was like, I didn't give Prime 2 like a good chance, I think. And I listened to it and I'm like, yeah, I still like the first one better. But like in Prime 2, they have a song called Sunflower Seeds where it was like, yeah, he's like, I still spit the shell out the window. Mm-hmm. And it's as this listen, I was like, oh, he's talking about like a bullet, obviously. But like, that's a cool little double right there. So yeah, that clips thing made me think of that.
Yeah,
enough
bars,
about guns.
Just like a Royce to 5'9". Which, by the way, another Royce to 5'9" reference from earlier. What the fuck are condoms? I don't ever use a condom. I just get behind him.
I just get behind him.
I got Moses set the show, saying he depart to sea.
Depart to sea. You think Moses really say that? You think Moses would bar you out a little bit at your own hip-hop show? I would be a little bit pissed.
Yeah,
like, Moses,
I would
listen,
be like, hey, whose name is on the poster?
You're doing a lot right now,
whose
Moses?
Name is on the poster?
Yeah. Moses, you're already doing a lot. You're here. Everybody's talking to you.
You do a worse bar back to him. You're like, you're being Moses? I need you to be less-is, okay?
And then he's looking around like, that was dog shit, huh?
That's dog shit, huh, dog?
Hey, now everybody can part a seat like me. Okay, well, what would you do if you're doing a hip-hop show, right? You're on stage, and you have people, for some reason, start the wave, which is not a hip-hop show thing to do, but let's say you just do it. You're a little bit different. They start the wave, and then Moses comes back out, and he splits the people who are doing the wave. It's like, you can't do anything without him, like, taking the attention away from
What would I do? I'd bring him on stage to do that part. I'd bring him on stage to do the fast verse of that song.
he does his signature fast rap song, Osmosis.
Yeah. He's holding up a sign that says, let me rap Osmosis with you.
It's like, Moses, stop coming to the show. Let me do it, man. Ooh, Dr. Oz and Moses together.
Ooh, rap group, Osmosis. Yeah. And that's why after he splits the wave, there's someone who's like, is there a doctor in the house? And Dr. Oz comes out.
It's like, these are just your openers. They're taking so much more attention. And you get on stage, you have a very normal set. And they just come back up. Like, who wants to see us again, though?
Yeah.
Dr. Oz and Moses from the Bible.
Osmosis. Is that something?
Honey, it's everything. All right. Your husband should not throw shit away. I think with the role play we did, we kind of showed how you could politely bring it up to him, you know, just address his name, how mm-hmm. it's a girl's and a guy's name in America. And then say that he's toxically a minimalist.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I were to bring it up to him, I would just be like, "Hey, I've noticed with a few things recently that you throw them away or get rid of them faster than maybe we agree upon getting rid of them. And maybe you just check in with me first before you throw anything away." I don't know. That still sounds like a...
That sounds so aggro. Why are you trying to control me?
Are we doing the reverse role play right now? All right. You're the husband?
No. I don't want to be him. I get to hit if I'm...
Are you trying... I was literally going to lead you in. I was going to be like, why are you balling up your fist right now?
Why are you winding it up like you're Donkey Kong in Smash Bros?
Why are you getting a head start from the driveway right now? Winding up your fists. The most animated domestic abuser. Jesus Christ. All right. Yeah. You want to read the answer?
Yeah. Let's see. From Prudy Giuliani. Dear Toss Up, leaving aside the environmental and social impact of landfilling things unnecessarily, it's not okay for him to throw away stuff that is also your property, whether that's furniture or baked goods, without your approval. That borders on stealing, and I worry about what such a habit says about his respect for you and your preferences. Trashing your mother's handmade gift boxes, a lovely effort I'm sure she made clear to everyone while she was still there, is honestly kind of monstrous. It's interesting, read concerning, that it's obvious to both of you that you operate differently, but he doesn't appear to be at all concerned about whether his behavior is out of line. But I guess it's kind that you want to accommodate him and compromise. After all, it's no fun to feel like you're surrounded by junk. Can you come up with an area in the house, like a corner of the garage, a closet, or under a bed, where things can live when he is done with them, but you aren't? It's reasonable to keep the clutter out of sight, but while you decide what to do with it, there are places it can go that aren't the trash. And the very least he could do would be to have a conversation with you when he's feeling the itch to purge something and let you figure out another option.
Okay, but what if it goes like this? Okay, you're the wife, I'm the husband, right? Go ahead and suggest to me that little space. But I want to have a space, like, for the stuff.
Okay.
Don't say where it is, though.
Yeah. Courtney, what if we just had, like, a little space where we could keep things in that temporary zone? While they're in limbo.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds great. How about like right by the road, like by the curb?
Oh, you think it real close? Hey, no. You can't start winding up your fist.
No. Ask me again.
Courtney, which by the way is a man's name in certain parts of the world. Why don't we just have like a little...
I like how every time you say my name, babe, you specify that.
Do you want me to call you by your middle name? Lindsay, which in certain parts of South Carolina is a man's name. For a homosexual
man.
Don't
you dare call me by my last name.
Oh, yeah.
Pussy Pants Jr., you know this.
I have it hyphenated now. I did take it on. I'm a traditional woman. Anyways, what if we had like a designated area for us to put things that are in that like in-between stage? That isn't the trash.
Yeah, how about like heaven?
Is that where you're going to send me with that fist that you're bumping up right now?
This is a good idea, I guess. Besides, like what you said, like the cookies thing, you can't keep them in a garage.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder how big their house is.
It doesn't fix everything.
Like, that's what I was saying.
I don't think all of it's furniture. I think that was kind of the assumption that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like what I was saying earlier, like I have some stuff literally in the corner of my room right now, just like a few pairs of pants there. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna donate these, give them to a friend, or if I'm ever even gonna keep them. But I'm like, I don't want them out right now, so I'm just like putting it in the corner of the room. But yeah, I don't know. I think just have like a little clutter space, like just one designated clutter space, is so much less stressful than, you know, getting rid of stuff, deciding if you want it or not, and or just having them out. So actually, yeah, having a little clutter space is a very good piece of advice.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an obvious compromise. It seems weird that you were, I guess like all advice columns, it's weird that you were afraid to have that conversation, but you know, maybe that's,
yeah,
it seems like pretty obvious. I don't think you need an advice columnist to tell you that.
Do you have like a miscellaneous drawer or like a miscellaneous area in like you and Kasha's house?
Yeah, we have a few. But in terms of space that like I have ownership of, it's basically my car. My car is my miscellaneous drawer.
Oh, you have a lot of random stuff in there? I guess kind of the living room closet, it has some miscellaneous stuff in there. Like there's like a small Roku TV in there, and I'm like, I don't want a TV in my bedroom. I already have one in the living room, but I don't want to get rid of this thing. So yeah. But yeah, overall, good advice. I didn't really think about that when we were first talking about minimalism in the beginning of the episode. But yeah, having a clutter space actually is a great solution to like not stressing over minimalism, but also not being like a hoarder, you know?
Yeah, I think that makes total sense.
Two good answers in a row.
Good answers. We're like a family feud, Ovi. Good answers.
Break out the Steve Harvey shit.
All right, for our third segment, we're gonna do a little wrap up. So when I was looking for things to talk about, I found, kind of playing with minimalism and maximalism, that in Kansas, I believe, there is a museum of the world's largest collection of smallest versions of largest things. Which is a very funny concept. Basically, what she does is she goes around, she finds like big balls of like a rubber band ball. She takes a picture of it. She makes a tiny miniature version of it. And then she displays it at her museum. And sometimes she'll go back to the place and take a picture of it with the giant version of the
thing. This is very cool. I appreciate that she's doing this.
Yeah, I don't know who's funding her or what's going on. Maybe the museum pays for itself. I don't know. But it's a funny little thing to do.
Where is this again? Kansas?
Lucas, Kansas.
Never been out to Kansas, but if I ever am, I will go to this museum. That sounds pretty cool.
Check it out. So we're not actually doing something about that. What we're doing is on their website, they have the list of the world's largest things and where they are in America. So we're going to go through it. Some of them, most of them have links so that you can actually look at them. So do you have it pulled up so that we can look at the things?
Yeah, let's see.
So this is the basic list of U.S. sites visited by the world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things.
Okay, let's see. I'm just going to scroll to a random... Actually, I'm going to go to South Carolina.
Oh,
see
yeah.
What we got there. Okay. All right. Golf ball on Fripp Island. Doesn't have a link to it, but... Okay. Have you ever been to Fripp Island? Is that like...
That sounds like one of those Charleston beaches. Oh, Peach, Gaffney. I don't even need the picture of that one. I can see it in my head. Clear as day.
Big old beach.
Have you ever watched House of Cards? It's James? Featured in that one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say James and the Giant Peach.
No. You know, just so that people can understand what a giant peach looks like.
Yeah. If you're having trouble,
I know
like,
that. Yeah, you guys aren't creative enough to really think about what this would be like, but no.
It's me and some shorts that say juicy on it.
Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey's character in House of Cards is from Gaffney, so they've shown the peach a few times in the show.
Really? Out of everywhere, they chose Gaffney, South Carolina?
Gaffney, South Carolina. So that's the only South Carolina one that has a link, but there's an egg in Newberry. That's kind of cool. I never saw that. A milk carton in Myrtle Beach. I would be surprised if I hadn't seen that. I maybe just didn't register it, but that's it for South Carolina.
That has to be like out and about like a statue, right? That can't just be... This seems like Myrtle Beach would definitely have a statue of a big-ass milk carton.
Yeah, I think most of these are.
Yeah. Like that wouldn't be like inside of a museum. That would be like outside somewhere. Maybe like on like their Broadway or whatever it's called.
Oh, the boardwalk.
Yeah. You know, actually, when we were hanging out with Kiefer last night, that's when I learned that Kiefer is from Myrtle Beach, and he was saying that there was a lot of kid
clubs
there.
What is it like to be from Myrtle Beach?
Well, that's what he was saying. Like, the kid clubs, he said, was a big part of the culture when they were, like, in middle school and high school. And he was like, in middle school, all the kids would go to the kid clubs, and it was really just, like, drink Coca-Cola, eat candy and stuff like that, and dance. And he was like, in high school, all the kids just show up drunk already. he was like, there was a clear shift, and he was like, that's when I stopped going to the kids clubs. I'm surprised the middle schoolers in Myrtle Beach weren't showing up drunk. But,
yeah.
All right. I am on California now, and I went straight to Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Let's see what they got.
The biggest sewing needle.
Oh, in Sacramento. Wait, does it have it split by... Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, the town name is after the...
Sewing Needle and... I've never seen that before. I gotta check that out.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. They don't have Davis on here. What else is near
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I don't
is
think it, Davis has anything on
okay,
there.
Okay, biggest camera in Westminster, or Shutter Shack Westminster.
I feel like we should pick the ones that have the links. That way we can describe what they look
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's probably a good idea. But I do wonder if the camera works. That's the big thing.
That's your question? I mean, the peach probably still works. Milk carton probably still works. You probably still put milk in
that's
that.
That's true. You can. Now, the sewing noodle. Do you think the biggest sewing needle is just for Steve Harvey's pants?
All right, I'm going to go to the... Oh, never mind. Let me see. Let me find the first link that works. Yeah, a lot of these links are out of date. Goddamn, hold
okay,
on.
Okay, I clicked the biggest yo-yo in Chico, California.
Oh, how does that look? Let's see.
I mean... I guess I didn't think about... Oh, wait, here, it has a description on it. 250 pounds.
Oh, it's in an actual museum. So we were wrong. Some of these aren't just like roadside attractions. Some things you actually got to go check them out.
75-foot string, 250 pounds, 50 inches high. 50 inches high. What is that, like 3 in... No, wait. It's like 4 feet. It's like 4 feet tall. Okay, yeah. So like a little bit shorter than us.
I was so sure you were going to say something about your penis when you said 50 inches. Huh?
4 of my penises?
It is in the Guinness World Record books. Because it works. Hey, damn. That's cool.
So I wonder if they have a video of somebody actually using it. It's like a giant dude.
Do you know what the Coco Pelli is from Arizona?
No.
Check it out. I think you'll recognize it once you see it. I didn't know that's what they were called. But it's in front of a souvenir shop in Arizona. Is it like on a t-shirt? Like where do people usually like put those? I feel like there's a brand that's associated with that.
I see this on a t-shirt. No, it's not the Life is Good t-shirts, but I have seen those on t-shirts.
I think it's maybe for people who go to where, like, are these Mexican or are they from Arizona? Is that what they are? But it's the guy with the flute. I don't know how to best describe it. It's like a very simple caricature of a guy with the playing some kind
of
instrument.
And he has, like, 3 or 4, like, almost, like, dreadlock-type braids coming out of his head. Okay, biggest postcard in Rosebush? No, wait, no, Rosebush and Tombstone. Postcard. It's kind of confusing. Oh wait, the world's largest rose bush is in Tombstone, but they linked a postcard to it. All right, that's a big rose bush, I guess.
Hold on. I'll be the judge of that. Oh yeah, I feel like that's not going to give you like a real impression of what it actually looks like.
Yeah. Ooh, the biggest King Kong is in Beaver, Arkansas, and that looks pretty sick.
Oh yeah, I would stop on a road trip for that one.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's see about this. Literature only mentions that he's 4 stories tall. Damn, that's pretty big. Wow, I would love to see that. Did you ever see the Star Wars like spaceship replica that was like in here in Casey?
No, wait, what?
Yeah, no, I think it's in Casey or West Columbia. Yeah, it's not too far away from like my house, but I see people take pictures with it every now and then. It looks cool, but I'm not a Star Wars fan, so I it doesn't really do much for me.
What
but
is it? It's a Millennium Falcon or what is it?
Something like that, yeah. I don't know. I don't know which...
Is it at someone's house or where is it?
No, it just looks like it's in some random, like maybe just some property somebody owns and maybe they do art or something like that, but it's like, it's not beside a house or anything.
This does kind of remind me, I was reading about the King Kong, about how it's next to what is no longer a diner that used to be there. That's the big thing in Dixon, California, when you're driving towards San Francisco. Mm. There's a big sign for like with a cow on it for like a place that no longer exists anymore. But people like the sign so much that they're like, we got to keep the sign for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep that on the highway.
The biggest shoe is in Bakersville, California. And I just saw a picture of it. You can go inside the shoe and stuff. And there's like a little store in it. So it's really just like a store that shaped itself as a shoe. I don't know if we should count that or not. But
you can't actually walk in it, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, but that'd be
you can't big step in that. You should be big stepping.
Hey, that's a good Tinder picture beside the shoe and be like, you know what they say about shoe size?
Yeah. Let's see. Colorado probably has some good ones. A hot dog. Coney Island. Let's see. Yeah, that kind of is like what you were saying about the other one, where it looks like a hot dog stand that just decided they were going to shape it like a hot dog.
Yeah. High wheel bicycle in Calhoun, Colorado. Oh, that's pretty sick, actually.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah, I like that.
14 feet tall. There's nobody tall enough to ride it, though. Like, they can't say it works.
That's true. Can God build a high wheel bicycle so big, not even he can ride it? That's the question atheists have been asking. The ball of rubber bands, classic. I don't remember where I was when I first heard about that.
Yeah,
that
is pretty cool. It's 5 feet tall, the rubber band thing. How do they do that? Like, so they had to make rubber bands that were big enough to keep on...
Or, I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like different... Wasn't necessarily rubber bands, but no, it had to be. Ooh, the biggest skillet. Oh, dude, I would have to make something in that.
Oh, I'd have to make a couple fried eggs in there.
Hey, come on. Oh, dude, you should click on the biggest skillet in Wilmington, Delaware. This is pretty sick.
Oh, I looked at it. I couldn't really get a good view on like what it really looks like. Oh, the second picture is way better. Okay, yeah. That is
holy
cool.
Crap. Yeah, that's awesome. What would you cook in there, you think? Would you make a whole pie? Because if it's a skillet.
No, a couple eggs, a little bacon.
Yeah. I would
really use the space.
Very small, yeah. I would just do a grilled PB&J.
Just a modest little breakfast, yeah. Well, you've been craving one of those.
Would you try to make like a really, really big pancake or something like that? That's what I would try.
Ooh, a thin crepe, the thinnest crepe.
You need like 1,000 people just to flip it. Let's see.
Ooh, cuckoo clock in Georgia. Check that one out. Let's see. That is a relatively large cuckoo clock. I don't think I could make one as pretty that's that big, but I feel like I could make a bigger one.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty.
Yeah, it's very ornate. I don't know. I feel like if you were willing to sacrifice on design, you could definitely beat this one.
Okay, so this is kind of surprising. Where was this? Outen, Illinois, the world's tallest man statue.
Oh.
Only 8 feet. Or almost.
Well, yeah, that's probably, it's probably how tall he actually was.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This should be like four stories high.
Is that tall? Is 8 feet pretty tall for a guy?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I put in my Tinder profile.
Hey, come on now. You know what they say about tall guys. Coffee pot and coffee cup is under Stanton, Iowa. Okay, it looks like it's one of those water towers, though, and they made the top of the water tower look like a coffee pot.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's cute. I don't know if it really counts, though.
So is this just a thing to where it's like, they can get the Dumb and Dumber car and be like, the biggest dog? It's like, are we just making things look like things now? We're like, it's the biggest one.
I mean, the next one after that's a strawberry, so yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It's just a, what if all of these are just cars? And they just made them look
do you
like...
Do you think at any point Zesto's had the biggest ice cream cone?
Yo, I didn't even think about that.
They're not on the list.
Is ice cream cone on? Let's see. Ice cream. Because you can search a word on the thing. Ice cream. 2 matches. There's the biggest ice cream bucket in South Dartmouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, we got to get through Massachusetts for Pierce. I'm looking at the biggest meat cleaver in Topeka, Kansas. It is pretty big.
Ooh.
Again, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think if someone had the gumption, they could probably make a bigger one. But I think, you know, I think at a certain point, you're like, hey, I'm going to let them have that one. Ooh, painted Russian egg is also in Topeka. Topeka's got like 4 of them. That's crazy.
Damn. Everything's bigger in Topeka.
Got a wren, too. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of everything bigger in Texas, let's look at Texas and see
what
they...
Oh, Texas has like 45, doesn't it?
They do have a lot of bigger stuff there, yeah. The biggest cowboy boots, that makes sense.
Mm.
Biggest jackalope, pecan, pig.
So some of these clearly aren't true, right? Because I've seen chair and coffee pot like 4 times on this list
already.
Yeah,
I've seen a few of those too. I've seen cross a few
times.
Wait,
what were you interested in Texas? Let me see.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, let's see. One of them is the biggest wooden nickel. I feel like that's not a hard one to beat. I don't know if a lot of people have big wooden nickels. Also, why are they specifying that it's a wooden nickel? Because, like, we know the strawberry isn't real, you know?
It's made of strawberry. Oh, the biggest pecan. That is a big pecan.
The biggest soup can. That's kind of cool. The biggest microphone.
You got to describe them a little bit. We're not just going to list them. You got to say something about them.
Yeah, not a lot of these have links under Texas. Let me go to one that has more links again.
Okay, the biggest donut in Yoakumtown, Pennsylvania looks very beatable. I'm going to go ahead and say if we're trying to beat one.
Oh, yeah? Okay, let's see. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. It's literally just at a like a donut shop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's beatable. The ice cream cone at Zestos is bigger than that.
Yeah, they just got turned into a donut.
Okay, I'm about to click on the biggest six-pack at La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
Yo, this looks sick, actually. I would love to get a picture in front of this. It's just like a statue.
Oh, it's the brewing barrels. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like, I feel like there has to be a different category for changing something that can kind of look like something to make it look like that, but it's already huge. And I'm going to make the biggest thing of this for the roadside.
Right.
It is cool, though. I would take a picture with that.
It is cool.
Oh, Wienermobile's in Wisconsin, too.
Oh, the biggest one? They have the biggest Wienermobile.
It looks like that's maybe just where the Wienermobile is from.
Yeah, it looks like a normal-sized Wienermobile. The biggest replica cheese. I like how this is the first time in the article they say replica something.
And they've acknowledged the...
Yeah, it's like, all right, these are fake. The biggest replica
cheese. World's largest
cheese. It's just a flyer for the world's largest cheese. I don't think they even show the real cheese.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not there anymore.
The biggest high-wheeler bicycle is in Sparta, Wisconsin, but I feel like we saw one already.
Yeah, but this one's got a guy on it.
Oh, so this one does work. That's a real guy.
This one does work. He's had to be a huge ass dude.
That's a pretty cool thing. Like, a lot of these just seem like cool things to take pictures in front of, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of the, that's the spirit of it, is you're on a road trip and you know that this is on the way there.
Yeah.
Let's see if the badger's cool. Okay, the badger's scary as hell. Don't look at the badger.
Oh my god, that is scary. Is it eating something? What is it doing? Has a red eye
and the sharpest claws. I would not take a picture. Actually, I would take a picture of that. That's pretty cool.
Okay, let me see if there's any other states that... I'll go to North Carolina. Let's see.
Biggest egg in Washington is American flag painted. That's cool.
That's pretty cool. The biggest Ten Commandments is in Murphy, North Carolina. There's not a link to it, but I guess maybe it's like a big, like, just scroll or something.
All right, let me see if there's any other ones that I want to really look at. Ooh, Adirondack chair, St. Paul. Oh, okay. I think I've seen bigger ones. Well, maybe not. That might be the biggest one.
Oh, the biggest. Oh, yeah, I've seen some big ones. They have one by the stadium over there, by that car.
Yeah. I was about to say, Pierce has a picture of him on vacation in a big one before, like somewhere else. I think there was one in Guatemala that I like took a picture with.
Mm.
I don't know why those are so common. Maybe they're really easy. The form factor is really easy to make big.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more each and then...
yeah, I'm down.
Clock it out. I'm going to do another California one just out of... I'm either going to do can of fruit cocktail or binoculars. Let me see. Okay, the can of fruit cocktail is just a very big can of fruit cocktail. It looks like it was painted, like it's some kind of sculpture.
Mm.
But also ballerina clown in Venice? Venice has some cool ones. Okay, the ballerina clown, as disturbing as the badger.
Oh, wow, yeah. Missouri. Let's go with St. Joseph, Missouri. The biggest twisty freeze. All right. Well, what is a twisty freeze? I feel like this is another one of those things where it's like, okay, only one person is going to do a big one.
This twisty freeze, cool. I thought would be like a polar thing, like the
it's like it's a little,
It's a little, it's like it's bigger than the one at Zesto's, but it is just like a little cup of ice cream.
It is bigger than the one at Zesto's. Okay, all right, my bad, St. Joseph. I didn't see you were out here like that. Okay, I do want to look at the biggest eight ball real quick in Missouri. Is it a Coke eight ball? Oh no, it's a real eight ball. Okay, it looks like their water tower again. They just painted the thing as an eight ball.
It's on the World Largest Things t-shirt. Oh, okay. So the World's Largest Things t-shirt includes all of the classics, like the Big 8 Ball and a couple of other ones that we talked about.
Oh, it's a pretty cool shirt, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The 8 Ball is the main attraction on there, probably. Sticks
the corn, out Big Cow, Big Donut. All right. Now, do you have anything to say for a big fact, no cap, about minimalism?
Having a little clutter space is so efficient, and it will save you a lot of time, and you won't even think about doing spring cleaning for a while. Just get a little space. Just throw shit in the corner for a little bit. Go have a drink after that.
And my no cappuccino is do that thing in your closet where you flip all of your shirts so that the hanger is going the other way. And then after a year, if any of those shirts are still flipped the other way, meaning you haven't worn them, donate them to someone who needs them.
But what if you wear it, but then you put the hanger back in?
Then you flip it back. You flip it back when you wear it.
What if you forget?
Then you kill yourself, Philip.
You get one of those hangers. Okay. All right.
All right.
And.